And I want to tell you a little bit about that today. We want to share our story of our relationship, what we've called a spiritual friendship. Again, we'll talk more about that as it goes on. Let me give a little bit of context, though, right? Not everyone might know you, right? We go back how long have you been in Grand Rapids?
10 years?
10?
Coming up on 10. I met you for the first time. Do you remember when?
I think here.
I did. When I was interviewing for the job at Rivertree.
You and Heather came here.
Yep.
Met with Andy and I. Yep. We had the chance to just get to know you a little bit, sit down for maybe an hour or so. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think, you know, for the first number of years that you were here in Grand Rapids, we knew each other, I would say, primarily as colleagues, and less as friends. But then that started to change about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then especially about 18 months ago.
Right.
And this is the story that we're going to tell today, how our relationship over time changed. So we've had this spiritual friendship. That's what we want to share today. But I think we also would be amiss to not just take a moment here at the beginning and ask you how you're doing, because the last month has no doubt been significant. Again, if we have any guests here from the branch, you may not know that a lot has been happening in your life and in the life of the church that you are pastoring. And so we've been praying for you guys. At the end of May and the beginning of June, we were praying for you. And I think our community would be blessed to just hear how you've been, how you are, what's coming, what has been. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Tell us. Rivertree is good. There's Rivertreeers here this morning that can attest to that. I think we are staying really well connected. And the first Sunday on the 13th of August, like 15 of us showed up at one church together. And that's a fairly common occurrence. People are going in groups. So a lot of those relationships are staying intact.
Yeah.
So really the Rivertree family still exists. It's
right.
Just in a different form.
Right. Yep.
As for me, being jobless allows you the opportunity to do really dumb things. like grow my goatee out as
Looks
long
good.
As
Looks
I
good.
Possibly can.
Keep it up, I think.
My kids affectionately call it Operation Greybeard the Pirate. and by the way, thank you for allowing me to do this morning, because this would have been my third Sunday without teaching, and I'm sure I would have had withdrawals
right,
and started
right.
twitching. So I'm okay. I guess what I would ask, because I know that the branch is close to my heart and you guys care about me, just be praying for me, because I don't know what this abrupt left turn means in my life. What I've told Chris and others who are close to me is I would like to use, for the sake of the kingdom, all of my accumulated experience in small churches and missional churches in some way, but I don't yet know what that is. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to say, though, my wife's going to be making enough money that I can live off her for a while.
Sweet.
So
always a win.
Right.
Yeah.
So just pray for me, and as it unfolds, I'll let you know, and I'll let all of you know.
Yeah. Your family's already in Virginia.
Yes.
Again, just to make sure everyone from the branch is caught up, they moved out there a number of weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
So Heather could get started and kind of get her feet planted and start this wonderful job that's going to, you know, so she can be your sugar mama. but you've been staying here to get your house ready to sell. You're
yes.
nearing the end of that process, right? So
I don't know. Man, I hope so.
You hope so. A broken toe I heard this morning and
oh,
other such accidents.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not my friend on Facebook, you need to be. You can keep up with the litany of things that happened to me. Yes.
Good. I just want to say, this wasn't in our script, but it strikes me this morning in saying to Rivertree too, you know, my wife and I went to Rivertree's last service, mm-hmm. and I walked in not knowing what to expect. What I mean by that is I didn't know how Rivertree would be doing on that last Sunday. It's a big moment. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed. I'm looking at all of you River Tree people. I was so impressed with you. You navigated a really difficult moment in life, a significant transition that had loss and pain in it. And you did it with such honesty and faith. I talked to all kinds of people who said, this really is hard and difficult, and we wish it wasn't happening. There was an honesty about it. But there was also this hope for what God might do through it, mm-hmm. and how God had used the last any number of years that people had been at River Tree to change them, and they believed to prepare them for what was next. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. Like, I was just so impressed. It's not the right word, but I was just so grateful, I guess, for what God had done in you and the way that you were carrying that forward into an unknown future. So, for what that's worth. Well done, friends.
Thank you.
Well done. Glad you'll keep us updated. We want to stay updated. And we love you guys. And River Tree, folks, as we've said, if you are here for a week or 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever the length of time, if you're here for the long haul, you are always welcome in this space. Always welcome here. We would love to have you for however long or short that might end up being. We love you guys. Okay, shall we pivot and talk about what we're supposed to talk about today?
Okay. Keep us on track there, buddy.
I'll try. So there's a passage I think that's meant a lot to you and I. It's from Ecclesiastes. I actually get asked to teach on this or to talk about this at weddings a lot. Mm-hmm. You too, maybe? Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 4. Let's hold on a second. You know, technology. Maybe you guys are going to recognize this, I bet, because you've probably been at weddings where this gets read. And it's a fine passage for weddings, but it actually is a passage that is probably primarily not about husbands and wives and probably more about friends. And this is what it says. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Chris Scheer, for me, has been a friend who has picked me up over these last number of years. A friend who's had my back, as the writer talks about there at the end, of defending one another. You've had my back when lies have maybe snuck into my brain or my heart, when I felt down, when I felt discouraged. I hope I've been the same for you. You can verify that in a moment or not, you know, but you have been that to me. You've been that to me. And I'm so glad that you're here today and that we get to talk about this. Again, our purpose is to share our story, and in doing so, what we hope will happen is you will consider who in your life is the person that's walking with you and helping you see where God is at work, where God is doing, and where your blind spots are. We hope that by sharing our story, you might examine your life and ask yourself, who do I have that helps me be more of the person who God wants me to be? Because that's what you've been to me, and I think that's what I've been to you.
Right.
And again, we're calling that spiritual friendship. So how about if we start with a few questions here, yeah?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to let you get going. Here's the first question. How did our relationship begin? Actually, I'm going to start.
Right.
Because
this is normal, by the way.
Very normal, very normal.
Yeah.
So we've known each other for a long time. I've already told you that. About 2.5 years ago, Chris Scheer comes to me and says, hey, we know each other as colleagues. Mm-hmm. It's good. What if we started spending more consistent time together? And what if we, in that time, poured into each other's lives and, again, helped each other listen and see where God was at work in each other? And I said to him, no. Actually, I didn't say no, I don't think. I think I just kind of played it off. Like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll think about that.
Right.
You know?
Which meant no.
Which meant no. You're smart. And the reason I said no, or I kind of played it off, was because I thought to myself, number one, I'm so busy, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm doing pretty well. I'm not sure I need that. And thankfully, you stayed after me. You wore me down in the best sort of way. You would continue to come back and say, hey, what do you think about that idea? And I'd be like, maybe, you know. And finally, I came, obviously, to the place of saying, yeah, all right, let's give it a shot. And I'll tell you what, I learned pretty quickly that I was wrong about the two things I believed about kind of this dynamic. I was wrong that I was okay and didn't need it.
Right.
I did need it. I just didn't know it until I got into it, and the relationship began to blossom. And I thought I didn't have time. That was maybe true in a sense. What was more true was that I had time if I was willing to make time.
Right.
And again, I didn't know the beauty and the strength of this relationship enough up front to know that it was worth the investment. I do now.
Right.
Right? So I said no. And then yes, it just took a little while. You were coming at it, obviously, from a very different place.
Right. It is true, though, what Chris said is true. When you seek to form a relationship like this, it is, so to speak, a risk. You don't know if it's going to be worth what you put into it.
Right.
You don't know if it's going to be worth the chance that you're taking. And the truth is, not every attempt you make at this is going to work. Now, in our case, God more than doubly blessed our efforts mm-hmm. at this. For me, a lot of the course of my spiritual life over the last 5 to 8 years has been a movement toward experience. Here's what I mean by that. I wanted to stop believing in Christianity. I even wanted to stop having the right values or the right morality and making the right choices. Those are all good things. Mm-hmm. I wanted to move past that to experience. So a lot of my focus in my own life and my own growth has been, how do I become a person of peace? Not in theory, mm-hmm. but in practice. When I run into the disagreeable people in my life, how do I, in my own life, treat them peaceably? When I get hurt, how do I respond not out of that hurt, but out of forgiveness or mercy? I really wanted the rubber to meet the road. I wanted to stop learning and start doing.
Yeah.
Relationships play a key part in that. There's a great quote by one of my own spiritual heroes, the late Mother Teresa, that I will paraphrase, that goes, a human being can live without romance. They cannot live without intimacy. And what I wanted to try to do in my life was create a couple of relationships in which there was extraordinary spiritual intimacy. And as odd as it may sound to your ears, that is one of the words that we would both use to describe what we have. We are intimate friends. That's where it started for me.
Yeah.
And I knew, Chris and I had known each other long enough, I knew that we, despite the surface differences, right? I am the Oscar to his Felix, I tell him. he eats kale. I don't know what kale is. Actually, we share a lot in common once you get beneath those surface mm-hmm. differences. So yeah. I knew that we had the potential to make this work. But it really came out of that need for and that want for spiritual intimacy.
Yeah. So thank God that
exactly.
You had that hunger in you and decided to bring me into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a gift. All right, so we're talking about this thing called spiritual friendship. I think we need to maybe define exactly, you know, what that is and what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to get us started here on laying out some framework, because maybe folks out there are listening and they're imagining that this relationship was X or Y or Z. And so let's spell out for them what it meant to be intimate, spiritual friends.
There are a lot of things this relationship isn't, and there are some things that this relationship is. Yeah. Chris is going to talk about a few other things that this kind of relationship isn't, but I'll mention a few. This is not socialization. Although, get him and me in the same room for 5 minutes, and we're going to laugh and enjoy each other's company, because now we're that familiar with each other. Yeah. So it's not like we don't enjoy each other's company. But this is far more than just socializing, spending an hour together. This is not being in a small group, or here, a missional community or mission circle. The person you do this with could be found in that context, but there is a depth and an intimacy to what we're going to describe that goes beyond that in most cases. So really, if that's not what it is, here would be the best possible way maybe to define it. The most intimate part of who you are as a human being, the deepest part of who you are, the Bible would call your heart or your soul, or your spirit, and those are interchangeable terms. And that's all the deepest stuff about you. That's what goes on inside of you that nobody else sees. For most people, the only person in the universe who knows your soul or your spirit is God Almighty. And as you heard implied in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it's not supposed to be that way. In fact, it's not best for you to live that way. If Mother Teresa is right, you can't live well as a human being without intimacy, without allowing somebody else into your fears, your doubts, your joys, the ways that you see God, the way that you don't see God and feel that He's absent, all of those things. And a spiritual friendship tries to put the focus on those things for the two or three people involved. The other thing that it is, that it's a habit. Most of you have spiritual habits, I hope. Things that cultivate your relationship with God. You pray in a certain way. Maybe you pray at a certain time. Coming to church on Sunday morning and worshiping and listening to teaching, that's part of the habit or rhythm of your spiritual life. Well, this is a relationship that is a habit. You do it intentionally and purposefully, deliberately, and you weave it in to the rhythm of your spiritual life. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you take it from there.
I think that's really important. I'm just going to jump on that. You know, there's intentionality and a deliberativeness about how often we meet. Mm-hmm. You know, right? We're meeting regularly.
It's once a month, by the way, for Chris and I.
Yep.
Although we'll stay in contact via email and text and whatnot otherwise. But it's just once a month.
Yep. I think there's also an intentionality when you are together. And for me, the thing that became so important to understand about this relationship was that there was an intentional vulnerability needed. Vulnerability. Which I stink at. I stink at being vulnerable with people because I don't want you to see who I really am, because I'm scared that if I show you who I really am, you won't like me anymore, right? And one of the things that we practiced...
You know, I've been meaning to talk to you and tell you.
Yeah, right. I knew it was coming.
I thought this was the best forum to do it.
Yeah, just let's have it out. I knew it was coming. There's such... It's so hard to be vulnerable, and yet if you're willing to take the step with someone who is trustworthy, that's critical.
Right.
So much begins to open up and become possible to explore and to grow into and to experience. And so for me, I would say, what's a spiritual friendship? It is a friendship in which you are intentionally vulnerable with each other. So it's more than socializing. It's more than accountability. I in college had an accountability partner, you know, and we got together and we were like, how'd you do on this and how'd you do on that and did you take care of that this week? And that's fine. You know, that can be helpful.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Nope.
This is an opening up of one's life to another person. And doing it with intentionality. Because when I look at my life, I have people who I'm willing to open myself up to. But I often will not see them with regularity. Or when I see them, we socialize, which is fine and wonderful, but we don't ever get into the deeper stuff of life. This is a relationship that says when we get together, we will intentionally talk about those
things. This is what we do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
It is very much, if you want an image, it's that last verse from the passage that Chris read, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, where you are a cord of three strands. That really is the visual for what I think he and I would describe as our relationship. There is me, there is him, and there is God. And together, it makes what God has built here something extraordinarily strong.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so let's talk about what it actually looked like when we got together, because I'm wondering if you're sitting out there and you're looking at two pastors, if you're saying to yourself, I can never do that. I mean, you guys are spiritually elite people, and you know how to do this sort of stuff.
Well, at least one of us. And I'll let them decide which one I mean.
Sure, it's fair. maybe you're thinking, like, I have no idea how to go about this. So tell them a little bit about what our time, looked like when we met together.
Yeah. Well, as we already said, it's a habit. So for us, it was once a month. Most of the time, it was the same time, same place, same day of the month. Andy Miller and Teresa would walk in on us at Icons Coffee over here in Alger Heights, because that was our place of choice, in the morning once a month. As I started to see the need for intimacy in my life and wanted to figure out how to cultivate that, I will tell you that there's very little precedent out there for how to do this. Christians are great about writing books about prayer or evangelizing or any, social justice, any number of things. What he and I are calling spiritual friendship, there's not a whole lot out there. So I latched on to one of the only things that I was able to find that was out there that really has formed the basis for our meetings. It's kind of the pattern or the structure of our meetings. And it's an ancient form of prayer that's 500 years old called the Examen. And it comes to us out of the Jesuit tradition. Will you put that slide
sure
up, Chris?
Yep.
And what some author had done is said, you can take this personal way of praying and you can translate that over into a discussion or a conversation with this intimate spiritual friend. So if you look up there at the screen, these are the big pieces of this ancient Christian prayer that form the basis of our meetings. It's things like paying attention together where you have sensed God's presence over the last month. It's being grateful together and taking time to be thankful verbally together for big things and very, very small things in your life. It's taking the time together to review and to talk about where you felt in the last month you are most in sync with God's work and where you are out of step with it. It's identifying in your life the things that are inside of you that may be bottled up that you need to get out and express. What unsaid things have no other context in your life to be said, but you need to say them here? That's part of what we do. Where'd you feel loved? Where did you feel like you were being loved? Where did you express love? And then fundamentally, the last way that you usually, when you end this kind of meeting, you talk about, okay, where was God today in our midst as we talked together and we considered together? Where was he? What's the takeaway for you and for me in this? Now, this is worth a sermon on its own or a series on its own. but I'll make two observations about what's up on the screen. Number one, this is the stuff you want to be focused on in your own spiritual life, but you have a hard time doing it. So do I, and Chris would confess the same thing. We all want to be people who feel grateful to God. We all want to be people that are sensitive to His presence. We all want to be people who see when He uses us and where He uses us and when we get out of step with that. We all want to be people who can say what's really going on in here without fear of rejection or judgment or reprisal. We all want that. We just, for many of us, have no place in our life other than God to cultivate this kind of sharing and reflection and observation. Yeah. And the second thing I'll tell you is this. These are muscles that many of us don't use. And so I'll tell you, at River Tree for about a year, those who wanted to could cultivate, if they wanted, these kinds of friendships. And they were modeled on what Chris and I have built together. And one of those people at River Tree who was involved in one of these spiritual friendships said to me after doing it for about 6 months, I'm getting so much better at this. When I started, it is such a struggle because I'm not used to thinking this way. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to pausing long enough to seeing these things and viewing my life through this lens. Mm-hmm. But the more that I do it, the more I exercise the spiritual muscle, and the better I get. So what, we're not going to talk about benefits yet, but one of the benefits of this is that it bleeds out into the rest of your life, day in, day out, week in, week out, because you become more aware of God's presence. You become more aware of where you need to be thankful. You become more aware of when God is sending you love through somebody else or when you have the chance to give it to somebody else. It is one of those things that has an exponential effect on your life,
yeah. Right? Yeah, and I think, you know, when we started using this, I don't know, some of you are maybe like me. You look at this thing on the screen and you go, ugh, you know, like, bleh, a step-by-step process, ah. Right. You know, you don't want anything to do with it, right? I remember when we started, I would pull this out essentially, and we would walk through the steps. Mm-hmm. As time went on, however, we never pulled it out anymore, but we still used it. We just got good enough at it that we didn't need to pull out the paper and go, okay, are we on step two or three right now? I think we're on step three. Good, okay.
Right.
Like, there was none of that. And I think about how that culminated, like, in the beginning of my sabbaticals, I started to really start to understand some things about myself that I was not really aware of, some parts of my true self and false self.
Right.
And Brant, you've heard me talking about this. I've preached on it a couple of times now since I've been back. So important, such an important learning for me, and I'm still learning. But one of the places where I processed that was with you. And we did it, in a sense, by walking through those steps, although we never got out the paper and said, you know, we just kind of knew, let's reflect, let's give gratitude. Where do you see yourself in sync? Where don't you? And it was so helpful to have you to ask questions back to me, to help me process, to listen well to me, and then reflect back what I was saying. It was such a gift. So if you're like, oh, I can't do this because I hate that, don't worry about it. It's actually not as stymied, or there's actually a ton of flexibility.
Because God is the third person in the conversation, once you get into this rhythm, you are more than welcome to follow the Spirit's rabbit trails. And so He and I have had conversations where we will do that. We will follow God's leading right in the midst of our meeting, and we'll do it for half an hour to an hour. And like Chris said, over his sabbatical, a lot of it had to do with true versus false self. That is an idea, a way of looking at spiritual growth that's very meaningful to me too. And so as it was helpful for him, and he brought that to the table of our relationship, it benefited me too. To the point that I would tell you this, there's almost no one else in my life. In fact, there, I would say there are only two other people in my life who know Chris and his false self and Chris and his true self, as well as this guy right here. So, for instance, he knows that right now, part of me at my worst, which is what I mean by false self, all those tendencies that we have that push us away from who God has called us to be, he knows that one of those tendencies that I have is to be afraid. I am a very fearful person who struggles to live by faith. Well, being jobless and moving to another state, not knowing what the future holds, screams out to that part of my false self. He knows that. And so when we meet, he asks me about that. He gently speaks about that. And then what he does, like all good spiritual friends can do, is he calls me to be my true self, which is to be creative, to start new things, to change the way that people think about church or do church. He knows that that's part of me at my best. Yeah. Without his voice in my life, I would be so much more afraid and so much more faithless right now in this time of great upheaval in my life.
It's a gift, this friendship. It's a gift. So, which really leads to kind of the last question. We've got a couple minutes left.
And look at us, man. We're actually like sticking to
the time frame. We're doing all right. Just
this is not normal, by the way. We really struggle.
But you're blowing it right now. Quiet. You know. You've already started telling, and I think I have too. We've hinted at some of the blessings that have come, the fruit that's been born because of this intentional vulnerability and the sharing of our life. Is there anything else you'd want to say, you know, just kind of as we wrap up here about how this relationship has been a gift to you?
Sure. It's hard to put into words, right? And I'm not just saying that. I think Chris and I both would tell you that. But here are some attempts. I told River Tree when we started to present this idea as a way for River Treers to gather together in a closer, more intimate way, that over the last 2 years in my life, the single greatest tool that God has used for spiritual change has been this. More than praying, more than whatever I learned or what book I had read or a way that I tried to live generously or compassionately, no. The single greatest spiritual catalyst in my life were my two intentional spiritual friendships. I can't imagine having not traveled the last 2 years without it.
Yeah.
A lot of doing this, as you hear Chris and I describe this, a lot of this is finally admitting that your spiritual life is too big to live on your own. That's really what Ecclesiastes 4 means in that passage that Chris read. And many of us, we believe the lie that we can do this alone. Yeah. That we can hear God's voice in our life by ourselves, or we can keep track of God's activity in us and through us by ourselves, or we can see where we have walked out of step with our true self and are now acting in a way that is much more characteristic of our false self. I think I've lived most of my adult life believing that I could do that stuff on my own, and that all I needed was God and I could do it. I will live the rest of my life not believing that because of what Chris and I have cultivated. What this has done is allowed us to live by the spiritual principle of humility. We have owned up to the fact that our lives, the good and the bad of it, the ups and the downs of it, our lives are just too big for us to do alone. And as we have been two people traveling together, as Ecclesiastes 4 said, we have found that there is great benefit that couldn't have been had any other way.
Yeah.
I'm going to say one more thing, but I'll go ahead and.
Well, I just think that's true for me too. I told you, hey, Chris DeBlay, do you want to enter into a more intentional relationship? No, thank you. I'm fine. Right? That was my my reaction. There were still times when a meeting would be on our calendar, and I would think to myself, I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. Like my false self would still show up, and then I would go, and we'd engage in this relationship, and I'd walk away going, how could I think I didn't need this?
Right.
You know? So I would just echo you. There's this strong temptation to think that we can do it on our own. At least you and I would say, no. Mm-mm. And at least for us, this type of relationship has been such a gift and an answer to that problem. So, right. Yeah.
In leaving West Michigan after 10 years here, there are only a couple of things I'm going to miss. Miss enough that it hurts my heart and can bring tears to my eyes if I'm not careful. One of them is I'm going to miss River Tree's people. I've got 10 years like you do. You have 10 years, 11 years invested in a community of faith, and they are your people. Mm-hmm. And that's River Tree is my people, and it's hard to imagine moving on to what's next without them. But the other thing on the top of my list is I'm going to miss Chris, and I'm going to miss my other spiritual friend. The sign of what we share together is how badly I'm going to miss him. And we'll still stay in contact, and I'm sure we'll figure out how to do that in a way that works for us. But we're also not naive. It's no longer going to be monthly coffees at Icons. And the hole that he's going to leave in my life tells you how important he has become in this spiritual friendship. There's a proverb, it's Proverbs 18:24, that says there is a kind of friend who sticks closer than a brother. I have a brother. I also have a sister. But they're not Chris to me. And neither are they my other spiritual friend. That proverb is actually true. And I have found that to be the case. That Chris is better to me than even family in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it hit me a couple weeks ago just how significant this relationship has been to me. And I keep telling myself, oh, we'll stay in touch, and we will. And, oh, it'll be okay, and it will. But it's just not going to be the same, and it leaves a hole right. in my heart, too. And I think we both trust that God will, mm-hmm. if it's God's desire, will lead us into relationships with other people, with other spiritual friends.
Absolutely.
But this, again, has been gift upon gift.
Right.
You know, you're listening to this. I'm not entirely sure what you're thinking. Maybe you haven't been listening. I don't know. You know, if you have been, I wonder if there's anything in you stirring, if the Spirit in any way is saying to you, you need to think about this more. I wonder if the Spirit is asking you, you know, do you have anyone in your life who's walking with you and helping you pay attention to your spiritual journey? Do you have anyone who you are intentionally vulnerable with? And maybe even as we've been talking, someone specifically has come to mind. That might be the Spirit saying to you and prompting you to maybe reach out to that person. I don't know. But I would, at the very least, we are not up here to say, hey, now you all need to go and do exactly what we've done.
No.
I think we're up here to prompt you to ask yourself, who am I journeying with? Who is locked arm in arm with me and helping me see the person that God has called me to be, right? Mm-hmm. And so let me just close with a brief moment here where we can just stop and in silence ask ourselves, Holy Spirit, is what do you want to say to me? And it may be nothing related to this. It may be something related to this, but let's just pause for a moment and at least give God that opportunity.
Yeah, are the handouts out?
Yep, they are out there.
So there are handouts about how you can go about building this kind of relationship with somebody if you're interested in it. It's what we used at River Tree. Where are they? Are they out there?
They're right on that kiosk outside that side door.
So if you want something written and in your hands as you leave today, you can get that.
Yep. Okay. And I'd be more than happy to sit down with anyone who's curious about how do you do this? How do you get one of these started? We'd be happy to grab a cup of coffee at Icons. All right. So let's just pause for a moment. Let's be quiet here and just, you know, the question is, God, do you want to say anything to me? God, would our ears stay open to your leading? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, man.
Look at us. Only 3 minutes over. Wow. Our meetings are never this short, ever.
It's true. We're going to move into communion, and I want to read a passage that came to mind thinking about this Sunday and what we're talking about. Jesus says this to his disciples, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you."